WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Writer Mary Gordon grew up Catholic and working class. Her first novel, Final Payments, published in 1978, set her on an exploration of religious and moral issues that came out of her upbringing. Issues like duty, self-sacrifice, guilt, and forgiveness. She stayed with many of those themes in her subsequent novels, The Company of Women and Men and Angels, as well as in some of her short stories. She's working on a new novel about Irish immigrants in America, which is set in the type of old neighborhood she had to leave to become a writer. Mary Gordon's most recent work is a collection of short stories titled Temporary Shelter. Gordon is visiting Philadelphia this week as a writer-in-residence at Temple University. I asked her when she's writing how she decides what becomes a short story and what becomes a novel.
I feel much more licensed to make a short story out of something more personal, something more autobiographical. An event which has struck me will often become the load for a short story in a way that it won't with a novel. I almost feel like I have to have an idea for a novel.
In that respect, is a story a lot like poetry, which
yes.
you used to write?
Yes, much more like poetry. Of course, it's compression. The challenges of the compression are like the challenges of poetry.
Now, you started writing poems, right?
I did, yes. I actually didn't write prose till I was 25.
That's pretty old. You know, very few people stick it out that long with poetry.
Well, I was very afraid of all the words in prose. I thought what I liked about poetry was every word was potent. Every word was controllable. Was an important weight. And I thought, well, there are all those us and all those does, to say nothing of the semicolons and the paragraphs. And I was really frightened of what I perceived to be the uncontrollable nature of prose. So it really held me back.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you don't write the kind of sprawling novel that's become very popular now. Your novels really are distilled.
Yes. But compared to poetry, they're quite sprawling. But I'm interested in that distillation in poetry. When I write badly, when I feel critical of a passage that I've written, what I feel critical of is a kind of waste or looseness or even a kind of easy charm that will bother me a lot. I really like every word that's possible to be weighty and potent and highly efficient.
How did you start writing fiction after writing poetry?
I found that my poetry was getting more and more narrative. The stories that I wanted to tell were spilling out of the form and required something larger, required more detail, more space.
Do you write poetry anymore?
I do, sometimes. I've just written a poem recently, but it's more occasional verse. It tends to be a poem about something that's really affected me, again, rather than finding an image that would be I think most real poets are moved by images. And I tend to be moved more by events now to write poetry about.
I think in your writing, you're really moved by ideas a lot.
Yes.
And I think that one of the distinguishing traits of your writing is that they're really about the character's interior lives as much as they are about any kind of, you know, plot or storyline. Is that important to you in fiction?
Yes, it's very important to me in fiction, although I love plotty novels. I admire people who can do these wonderful plots, and I often envy the writers of the 18th century who just could write very plotty things, and it just seems like it was probably more fun. You dash down a lot of events, and Moll Flanders went to Virginia, and then she came back, and, you know, she had an illegitimate child, she got sent to jail, and you just kind of jog through it in a way that if you're doing an interior life, it's much slower. But I must say that the fiction that I love tends to have that sort of thickness of interior life.
In order to get that interior life, you really have to get into the way somebody thinks, and not just the events that they've spent their life doing, but how they perceive things,
yes.
What their big moral crises are. And in your book of short stories, you have to do that for, like, dozens of different characters. Is that a difficult thing when it carries over into real life to be able to see things through other people's eyes a lot? I think it's the kind of thing that can make you wonderful at writing and then indecisive in real life because you see all the different possibilities.
I think I would be a better person if I lived more like a writer of short stories. I actually wish that there were more of a spillover, because I think, you know, there's that French phrase, to comprendre et to pardonner. If you understand everything, you forgive everything. You forgive your characters everything, because you always understand why they're doing it. And too often in life, I am standing outside people and judging them. I'm a very judgmental person in real life. I'm much more merciful to my characters.
Well, do you see that as a big contradiction, or just as the difference between life and fiction?
I think it's the contradiction between my life and my fiction. I think there are very gifted human beings who live the way I write. And that is something that I adore. I love seeing people who can do that, who can be so porous in their understanding of other human beings. Because that, to me, is the center of real morality. You're not doing it out of duty. You're doing it out of sensitivity, because you really understand what people need, and you're listening so intently that you are a presence for them and they are a presence for you.
A lot of your stories and novels have to do with family, relationships, marriage, in a way that those are very traditionally female subjects to write about. Why do you choose those so frequently as your subjects?
I don't think I choose them. I think they choose me. I wish that I spent a lot of time thinking about Acid Rain, but I don't. You know? it's what I think about during the day, and it seems to be the issue or the sets of issues that compel me. So it's not like I say I think I will write about the family. It's that those are the thoughts that are going on in my head.
In some of your stories, marriage is a haven in a way. It's a secure place to be. You have loving people around you. You have your home, your family. But your characters who believe it knowing about the fragility of their own marriage, that no matter how deeply loved they are, no matter how deeply they love, the person they love might die. They might get ill. I mean, there's all these things that could happen that would break this safe haven. That seems to be something, that kind of insecurity, something that's always on your characters' minds, I think, knowing that things are fragile.
Yes. I think that's one of my obsessions, the contingency of life and the dangerousness of our position. Simply having a body places one in great danger, because the body is mortal and vulnerable.
On the occasion when something like that actually does happen, when something that you feared will go wrong does go wrong, do you ever almost feel the sense of relief?
Yes.
Like, I've been worrying this would happen, something's going to break, something terrible is going to happen, and then it happens, and, well, at least you don't have to worry about it anymore. It happened, and you know specifically what the terrible thing is going to be.
That's right. There's a kind of, somehow the sound of breaking glass can be a wonderful sound, because it's so complete and final, and again, as you say, you don't have to worry about the shape and the limits of it. Yes, there is, at least in the middle of a disaster, you can relax. You don't have to be anxious. It's something of a relief. But of course, the sorrow does, nothing ever prepares you for sorrow, and nothing ever protects you from it. It's always awful. It's always probably worse than you thought it was going to be.
I ask you because this is such a recurring theme in your fiction, but are there things you were exposed to when you were young that got you thinking about that a lot?
Yeah, my father, who was my beloved parent, died when I was 7. I also have a mother who is a polio victim. And then I grew up with grandparents and another aunt who was a polio victim. So I sort of grew up a half orphan among damaged people. And that seemed to me to be the norm. I'm always surprised at how intact my adult life has been compared to my childhood. I mean, you would think from the way I talk that I go around miserable all the time, and actually I quite enjoy my life. I mean, I like to laugh, I like to hang out and dance and go to the movies and play with my kids and talk to my friends and eat. There's some instinct in me where, you know, a friend of mine once said, and I agreed with him, I was going to commit suicide today, but then there was this movie I wanted to see. and there is, you know, a great deal of distracting nice things in the world that I do enjoy.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about your writing.
Thank you.
Mary Gordon's book of short stories, Temporary Shelter, has just been published in paperback. This is Fresh Air.